As you know, we're getting ready for the upcoming NFL draft. I'm trying to get as many draft prospects on the program and in studio as I possibly can. We are joined right now in studio by a two-time national champion, a three-time All-American, an academic All-American, a winner of the William V. Campbell Trophy, the academic Heisman. Check these numbers. 250 tackles, 41 tackles for loss, 16 sacks, 56 quarterback pressures, 16 pass breakups, 3 forced fumbles, 4 fumble recoveries, 2 rushing touchdowns if you need him, and a receiving touchdown. He's a former defensive lineman for Clemson. The draft is coming up in Nashville, April 25th through the 27th. Christian Wilkins. My man, I'm exhausted. Hey. What's going on? How you doing?
Appreciate you. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you.
You make me sound a lot better than I actually am.
No, dude, you're good. No, you're good, man. You got a good resume. I've done this before, but never in person, so I appreciate you. It's good to see you.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Let me start here. You posted some photos from the Combine on your Instagram account, and you had the message, quote, worked all my life for this opportunity. I had a great experience at the Combine. Just smile, end quote. What was the experience like there?
I mean, it was great. Just first of all, obviously getting invited. It's funny because you watch the Combine your whole life. Just watching the guys, like, man, I hope I get the opportunity to be there one day. Like, that's what I want to work to. And it's just weird, like, you know, seeing it on TV, then actually being there. It's just like, man, this is it. And then you also realize that there's a lot more that goes on, you know, throughout the whole Combine process than just the field stuff. That's actually the fun part and, like, the best part of the week. You know, it's a monster all week of the days leading up to that because, you know, you're in meetings, you're doing interviews, you're doing a lot of different stuff. You're meeting with, you're doing medical stuff and doing all that. And it's just like, man, you know, it's pretty tiring. Like you're on like 4 or 5 hours of sleep, you're just getting.
They don't show that on TV.
Exactly. That's the stuff they don't show. But it was fun to finally just get on the field at the end of it, and you know, try to do my best on the field and doing the position work.
Christian Wilkins joining us in studio. Now I had Justice Hill from Oklahoma State on the show yesterday. Mm-hmm. He said that none of the teams asked him anything weird, except we know that one guy was asked by the Seahawks to get into a staring contest. Another player said asked him if he had both testicles.
Right.
What was the weirdest thing that you were asked?
I mean, there was like. I can't remember, but there was just like some questions. I was like, I've never been asked that before. Just like little things, like, you know, during like let's say like questionnaires, it'd be like, are you a cat or are you a dog? Like, which one are you more like? Just little weird things.
What did you say to that?
I don't you just kind of got to choose one. You really don't get to like explain your answer. You just kind of got to choose one, I guess. I think I went with the dog. But yeah, no, just like this is a bunch of funky questions.
I don't know, dude, stuff. You want to do the right thing, but I'd be like, I don't know, man. Are you a zebra or a donkey?
Right. Yeah.
This has to do with what?
Right.
But you prepare for it, right?
So
you train for it, and you know, like, I mean, how do you approach that? You're not a guy who's not used to showing up big on the big stage. So right. How did you approach it and prepare for that?
Really, you can't really prepare for it. You just kind of got to like just go in like expecting the unexpected and like have the mindset like, all right, anything could be asked. I could go through anything. Like. You know, just be prepared for whatever. Just be ready for whatever they throw at me. Just roll with the punches. Just embrace it all and take it all in.
We're talking to Christian Wilkins. He's joining me in studio. Now, you could have entered the draft last year, mm-hmm. and you would have gone really high, but you decided to go back to school. Dabo Swinney said, quote, I was surprised that he came back because it goes against the grain of the culture and where we are in society, end quote. So what went into that, and how come you went back to school?
I feel like, you know, it's funny he said that, too, because, like, I feel like I'm always – someone who goes against the grain, kind of like not in a bad way, just like I kind of do, like, you know, I'm just not, I try not to be the typical person or like more than just an athlete at times too. And, you know, always use my platform to, you know, be a person of influence and make an impact in someone's life and things like that. So, but yeah, there's a lot of reasons why I decided to go back to school, but I mean, I'll give you kind of just a short and really, there was just, you know, it was a gut feeling kind of thing. Like, you know, I had dreams and goals of doing things at Clemson before I got there. And I feel like part of the things I didn't finish, you know, everything. I wasn't done making Clemson a better place than I found it. And, you know, just growing in the areas that I wanted to grow before I went to Clemson. So that led to it from the football side of it. I still like there was parts of my game I could have still really improved on before I made the jump and went to the NFL. I feel like I did those things this year. So that was great. And to top it all off, you know, I just got closer with my teammates, my brothers for life and won a national championship at the end of it, you know, and still managed, you know, just to improve on those areas that I wanted to improve on the field. You know, so I just feel, you know, really good about it all and looking forward to these next couple months.
I mean, there's so many things in that. I could talk to you. You and I could talk about things that are non-football related for the entire interview.
Oh, yeah.
Because you are a different guy like that in a really good way. I think that not a lot of people know also that you got enough academic credit to graduate in 2.5 years.
Yeah. So, I graduated.
How much pride do you have in that?
I take a lot of pride in that because, not too many people from, first of all, where I grew up ever go to college, let alone graduate. Myself and six of so I come from a big family. I got eight brothers and sisters, and six of us all have college degrees, and the other two do have some form of outside education other than high school. So I mean, just the challenge and, like, you know, the competition in the house alone.
It's a standard. Yeah, exactly. The bar is set high.
Exactly. And not only that, like, graduating in 2.5 years is tough, but we're there all year round, so it was easier to, like, you know, like, add a couple of extra classes here and there, just try to get it all done. That way, if I left after my junior year, I had a degree. And then so, actually, this last year, too, I got my master's. I was able to get my master's in a year, you know, because I had already got my undergrad, and I did things like substitute teaching in my off time.
I was going to ask you about that. You spent some time as a substitute teacher. Oh, yeah. What was that like? How did that go?
Man, that was great. It was really special to do that. You know, I felt like Arnold Schwarzenegger and a kindergarten cop, kind of. You know, you got kids running up to you, crawling all over your leg, like, Mr. Wilkins, Mr. Wilkins. And, like, it's just funny hearing them call me Mr. Wilkins. It's like, no, like, it's
You're
weird.
Looking around.
Like,
I'm like, my dad around here?
Right, yeah, who's Mr. Wilkins? But it was great because you really go to teach those kids, but you end up learning so much from them, more than you could ever teach them. And just, it's just great to see, like, their innocence and, like, just, like, you know, just, it was just good to know that I could have such an impact on their lives. And, you know, because what I realized, too, at my time at college is that, you know, not a lot of kids have a male teacher, you know, not until they're, you know, in upper education, whether it's high school or college, and, you know, let alone a black male teacher. So I was able to do that and provide that for both, you know, from both sides of the spectrum as well.
Christian Wilkins joins me in studio. One more thought about this, because you had a great line about being a sub. Quote, you have an imaginary sense of what teachers actually do. Thought a teacher's lounge was a real thing. I had this whole perception that everybody was sitting around in there smoking cigarettes, right. End of quote. So how accurate was that? Were the teachers lighting up and burning their heaters in the lounge, right. Or were they working away and actually getting ready for the curriculum in the classes?
Yeah, no, like when you were a kid, you always thought, like, the teachers are like, what goes on in there? Just back there smoking
cool
cigarettes,
there.
Chilling, right? drinking a little, and just hanging out, like, not doing anything, just shooting the breeze. But yeah, no, like, during in those teachers' lounges, you know, they're actually, you know, getting ready for next classes, they're eating their lunch or whatever, but they're, like, you know, preparing for the next, you know, for the rest of the day. You know, they're still, like, you know, they're still also just hanging out, chilling. But, you know, that's kind of like always the perception I had just as a young kid. I must have saw it on, like, a TV show or a movie, and, like, it just stuck with me, I guess.
Sitting around smoking cigarettes.
Right.
It's really funny. You talk about how some of these kids have never seen, like, a male role model or an African-American role model. You and I have talked about this in the past. One of the things that you've been able to do over the course of your time at Clemson is honor the memory of your grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
Uri Stamp Sr., he was shot and killed by a police officer in his own home. You wore number 42 to honor him. What was your grandfather like? What kind of an impact did he have on you?
Man, like, so it's funny. Like, people who know my grandfather and see me, they're like, man, you're really your grandfather's, like, grandson. Because, you know, like, when I'm in my hair's in braids now, but he had a big old head full of gray hair. His hair was wild, kind of like how mine is when it's not in braids. And just the biggest outgoing personality. Love everybody he came in contact with. He'd be that guy who'd give you to shut off his back in a second, like, without a question. He'd give you his last dollar just to know that you were okay. You know, so those are things that I try to emulate and, you know, try to, you know, just his outlook on life and just how he was always positive, always happy, always smiling. You know, at least when I saw him, I'm not saying he was a perfect person, but, you know, that's just the perception I had of him. And growing up, I didn't really have my dad around the house. So, like, you know, when I got to see my grandfather, he was that positive male influence, and that positive male figure in my life. And so I felt like, you know, once he passed, it was always important for me to, you know, like, live the life he would have continued to live and to be his legacy, you know, and just, you know, have him live through me. That was always something that was important. So that's always what I try to do. And just, you know, a lot of my personality is genuine, but it's still, like, you know, there's a lot of my grandfather in there as well. And yeah, just wearing the number 42 was always just a sort of motivation for me. He was born in 1942. So, you know, I'm not going to be able to get number 42 in the NFL, but we'll figure something out. I mean, I'll continue to honor him, whether I write, you know, something about him on my shoes or on my tape or just something, like, you know, because his life was so important to me, and I just want to allow, you know, him to be recognized and, you know, and just continue to honor him.
It's great. Christian Wilkins joining me in studio. It's been a couple of months since that national championship game against Bama. At the end of that game, you were pretty emotional on the sideline.
Everybody got to bring up old stuff. I know I was emotional. I was a bit of an ugly crier.
Better to bring up good. It's better to bring up good old stuff than bad old stuff.
You don't have to show that on the TV. To make sure they don't show
Now you're
play
producing,
back.
Bro. Now you're producing, big dog. If you want, I could. I'm sure they've got that somewhere.
Thanks. No, y'all don't have to. Don't do it.
All right, man. That's awesome. Yeah, how about this, then? Like, can you express, like, what was going on? Like, I bring it up, well, because it was cool and emotional.
Yeah.
None of us have ever done that. Like, what goes through your mind in something like that?
It's just like, well, first and foremost, like, I just truly just love the game of football so much. And I give literally everything I have into the game, week in and week out, day in and day out. Like, everything that my life, like, everything I focus my life to, like, goes back to football. Like, I can't eat this. Like, I can't stay up late because I need sleep so I can work out. And, like, you know, just little things like that. Every choice you make goes back to football, you know, and just have such a love and appreciation for everything it does and how much it's done for me in my life and the places it's taken me. So, I mean, just to put your all into the game, just that alone, let alone with everything we went through together. Like, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind closed doors. You know, as a team, and just that people, stuff that people didn't know about, and just everything, and just, you know, deciding to come back another year, and, like, you don't know, that was the result of it, and it just all hit me at once, and I just, you know, couldn't hold it in, and just, you know, my emotions just got the best of me, you know, and just let it all out.
Big Dog, was that so hard? That was actually pretty cool.
No,
that was a good answer. That was a really good answer. I could see it. Yeah. All right. So, listen, when Dabo made the decision to start Trevor Lawrence this season, there's this now famous story that you were taking him out to breakfast, and you've been really humble about this whole thing. You were saying, look, I was hungry. Trevor had a car. There's nothing to it.
Right.
But it seems like maybe it was a little bit bigger than that. What was the thinking behind it, and what's to say about how you approached your role in the locker room?
No, I was just taking, like I said.
You
like
were hungry
I said,
and you had a car.
I was taking a cute blonde on a date. You know, that's all it was. But no, really just – you know, I don't make a big deal out of it because, it's something I just do for my teammates. I always do little things like that, you know, just to learn and grow with my teammates and appreciate them just a little bit more, learn a little something about them. Like, Trevor wasn't the first team I ever did something like that with, and he for sure won't be the last, you know, throughout my life. And so, like, but especially in his situation, I just wanted to see where his head was at a little bit. Like, you know, you're coming in as a young guy, you're 18 years old, now you're asked to be the quarterback of – you know, the best program, like, you know, after the, like, one of the best programs in college football. So it's like, I mean, that's a tough task. Like, I had pressure as a freshman coming in, but not to the same extent. Like, I had to play a little bit, but I wasn't starting right away, but I had to play and contribute. And, like, it was still a lot on me. So I just tried to be that mentor for him a little bit and just help him and guide him along the way. It really was nothing to it, you know. Just and other than that, I was hungry. I didn't have, like you said, I was hungry. I didn't have a car on
and
campus.
You need transportation,
right? And I needed transportation, so we had breakfast.
You know, his play kind of speaks for where he was at mentally. But, like, how do you answer that question? I mean, I think that's a really good point on your part that you're a young guy. You're coming in. We're the biggest program in the game right now. That's a big ask. Right. I want to see where his head's at. Where was his head at?
No, I mean, he's as cool as it can be like that. And I feel like that's just a testament, like, to. There's a reason he's been so successful already in his time, just because he's so nonchalant, just so laid back, so cool, like, just wants to play the game, just loves the game, you know, always appreciative of his opportunities, but, you know, he's just a cool customer. Like, there's people in life who are low maintenance and high maintenance. He's really, like, no maintenance. Like, he doesn't care. Like, you know, he's just like, yeah, whatever. Like, you know, like, he doesn't, you know, he just does his job, show up, does everything you ask, and, you know, and that's it. And, I mean, he's, you know, he's a special kid. Off the field and just on the field too. You see that arm, the way he can sling it, the way he can throw it around. I mean, that special talent speaks for itself.
All right, so you made the point. I mean, literally every decision has gone into where you are right now. It's your time. Mm-hmm. What do you want an NFL team to know about you, not only in terms of the impact you'll have on the field, but also in the locker room and in the facility? What are they getting when they draft Christian Wilkins?
Well, the biggest thing is, it's like, when you draft me, like, you're investing in something. Like, when you draft a player, you're investing in them long-term. And I feel like you can't go wrong with investing in me, just because of the simple fact that I could be that guy who's dominant and disruptive and doing their job on the field, but off the field, you know, I'll bring all the positive attention to your organization and do those things in the community and build relationships. I'm going to know everybody's name in the building as soon as I can. Just really, because I just have an appreciation for everyone and everybody's role. And that's something that was, you know, like, I kind of already had that mindset, but it was further instilled in me at Clemson. And not only that, just like, you know, there's so much I could do for your locker room and just for your team. And, you know, people are just going to respect me, you know, and admire, you know, the way I go about myself. And, you know, that's something I'm going to try to, you know, I'm going to have to earn over time and, you know, prove to people. But, you know, that's what I'm going to try to do from day one.
So, final thought, the folks at Clemson would say just that. In your bio on the Clemson website, it reads, concluded a stellar four-year career as one of Clemson's most decorated and most beloved figures, end of quote. So that second part of that, what's that mean to you? Most beloved figures. What's it mean to you to know that your impact there goes beyond just the numbers?
I mean, it's great because, you know, that's something, because I want, when football is all said and done, and because football is such a short time in your life, like, hopefully I play this game another 10 years at least. But then after that, I'll be an early 30-something-year-old oh man, I got, you know, hopefully 70,
easy,
80 more
big
years.
Dog. A 30-something-year-old old man.
Yeah, right, yeah.
30-year-old man or an old man at 30?
Right, right.
Can I get clarification on
I'll
that?
I'll be 30-something-year-old man.
Okay.
And so my thing is, it's like, you know, like I'm going to have a huge life to live after that. And, you know, but while I play this game, I'm going to put my all into it and try to be as special as I can and do everything I can on the field. But I also want my name to hold weight, you know, after football, you know, because it's more important to me what people think of me as a man and as a person than just a football player.
Christian Wilkinson studio. Let me send you out with a couple of tweets. These are directed at you. E-Patches 2000 tweets. Hands down, after this Jim Rome interview, I love this guy. I hope he stays for the or plays for the Buffalo Bills, and I have to cheer for this kid. Down to earth, please stay this way.
Oh, what's his name? I appreciate you. Thanks for the love.
E-Patches 2000.
Appreciate you, E-Patches. Thanks for the love, my dude.
Stover Jake 31 tweets. If I'm a quarterback in the NFL, would not want to look over to the D and see Christian Wilkins. What an interview, going to dominate in the league.
All right, so appreciate these guys, you too. Thank
they're,
you.
They're not Clemson fans. These are guys who are fans of you,
right,
who like what they're hearing and like what they're saying.
Yeah.
Listen, you and I have done this before, but we had to come together in person. I really appreciate you. Good to spend time with you. Take care of your business. And as soon as you find a place to live and work, you know I'll be looking for you again.
All right, good deal. Appreciate you having me. Thank you.
Well done. Christian Wilkins joining me in studio. That's how you handle that business. Now, did I or did I not say before he came in, I knew he would crush his jungle appearance? We'd had him on the program before, and I knew he would show up like that. If